could we turn again to the passage from which we were reading? That's Matthew chapter 2, and reading again at verse 15. Matthew chapter 2, we could read from verse 13 just to get to the context. "And when they," that is the wise men, "were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." The baby Jesus has been born, just as the Lord had promised. His word had been fulfilled. And yet, there is immediate danger. There is a threat to the life of the young child. The king, Herod, is determined that this child will not live. We mentioned last week that this man, Herod, was the king. But he was not a sovereign king. He was not the absolute ruler of the land. He was part of the Roman Empire. He was subject to the Roman Emperor Caesar. And therefore Herod had to walk a careful tightrope. He had a careful balance of power to maintain. And he was afraid of anything that might disrupt that balance and that might threaten his own power and position. And sadly, this folly, this sinful, prideful folly, led him into the dreadful sin of murder as he tried to slay the young child that had been born to get rid of this threat that he was perceiving to his own power and position. And yet, of course, the Lord is in control. He is on the throne. And so we see the safekeeping of the child Jesus with this exile into the land of Egypt. The warning brought by the angel to Joseph to flee, to escape out of the land, so that they will be safe until Herod has died. "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." And of course we read these words in their original context in Hosea chapter 11. Now we should acknowledge that this is a difficult text. "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Here we have these words applied to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in their original context, it's very obvious that they are speaking of the people of Israel. Israel, which had gone down into Egypt. Israel, which had been hundreds of years slaves in captivity in the land of Egypt. Israel brought up out of the land. "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And yet here, the inspired writer Matthew is telling us that these words are fulfilled. They are fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. So it's obvious that there is more meant than simply the reference to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. There is also a reference intended to the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it shows us that the whole exile of the people of Israel in Egypt was itself pointing forward to the coming of Christ, was itself speaking of the Messiah who was to come and who was to save and to redeem his people. So the exile in Egypt, whether it's of Israel that we're speaking of or whether it's of the Lord Jesus, it has a message for us. It has a lesson for us, and we'll seek to open that up this morning in a little more detail. You'll remember that on our Sabbath mornings, we've been considering the identity of Jesus as we find it expressed for us in these early chapters of Matthew. We've considered the identity of Jesus from his genealogy, from his name as Jesus, from the prophecy of him as Emmanuel, and last Sabbath, from his birthplace in Bethlehem. And now we come to consider the identity of Jesus from his exile. And we'll seek to see what we can learn about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ from this period of exile in the land of Egypt. So first of all, let us consider the place of exile. The place of exile. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Egypt was a distant place. It was out of the reach of Herod. Herod's rule extended over much of the land of Israel. But at the border of Israel, it stopped. He had no more power. He had no more authority. Egypt was a distant place. It was a place of safety. You think, for example, of John Knox fleeing from Mary, Bloody Mary, when she became the Queen of England, and he escaped to the continent, and he lived first in Frankfurt, and then later in Geneva, in modern-day Switzerland, there living as an exile, to keep safe from the murderous rage of a wicked and sinful monarch. Later coming back to Scotland to try to start the work of reformation. Again, the Romanist authorities too powerful. Again, he went back to Geneva and then he returned again and, of course, led the successful reformation of Scotland. Later on in church history, we had even Highland ministers like Thomas Hogg of Kiltern, of Eventon, in Easter Ross. And of course, during the time of the Covenanters, Thomas Hogg had to flee abroad for the safety of his own life. And he lived in the Netherlands, modern-day Holland. And there he was, of course, a chaplain to William of Orange, until eventually William came to take the throne. And so he was in that distant place, that place that offered safety during that period. So it is with the Lord Jesus, the young Lord Jesus, during this period of time. And so it was with the children of Israel. They too had needed to go into a distant place, into the land of Egypt, to find safety. There had been a famine. The children will remember the prophecy that came, 7 years of plenty, of great harvests, and then after that, 7 years of famine. And you remember Joseph was sent with that prophecy, with that message, so that in the land of Egypt he would gather during the 7 years of plenty, and so that there would be food available during the 7 years of famine to come. And so it was that the children of Israel came down into the land of Egypt, to that distant place, to find safety there from the provision that God had made. And so we see the hand of God at work, God protecting his own, God protecting his chosen one. The Lord Jesus as a child, he had to retrace these steps. Like the family of Israel of old, he had to make that long, weary journey down into the distant land of Egypt. He had to go into safety there at a faraway place, a distant country. You see the significance of it. The significance that he is retracing the steps. It's as though he is living again the life of the people of Israel. And showing them how they should have lived. The Lord Jesus exhibiting holiness and sinless perfection, whereas the history of Israel had just been a continual history of sin and of rebellion. With the Lord Jesus, we make a fresh start. We make a clean break. The Lord Jesus speaks to us of new beginnings. And so it is with us as the people of God. We've got experience of Egypt, haven't we? Experience of living in a distant place, distant from God, distant from his word, distanced from caring about his glory or about his service. We've lived in the distant place. We've known what it was to be far away from God and to care nothing about what he thought of us. We've known it. Perhaps we still know it. Even today, perhaps we are still far distant from God. And yet let us see that the Lord Jesus, yes, he is in Egypt, but he is not off Egypt. Out of Egypt have I called my son. And there is hope for us, even if we are in the distant place this morning. There is a call that comes to us. And there's a message of hope for us, that just as Israel was drawn out of Egypt into their promised land, so too in the gospel there is a call to us to come from the distant place into the household and the family of God. A distant place. But it is also, let us see, a temporary place. It's a temporary place of exile. The Lord Jesus is not going down into Egypt to stay. He's there for a very specific period of time, until Herod the king dies. Only there until at last the danger is past and gone, until it is safe for him to return. Similarly, Old Testament Israel, they went down for a time into Egypt, for a time of exile, for a period of hard experiences as they learned of the cruelty and the hatred of this world, as they learned of the need to worship faithfully their God. And then at last the Lord, in demonstration of power, brought them up out of Egypt. And so it is with you and with myself. Egypt is a temporary place, and we are called out of Egypt. And if we're the people of God, then we've known that. We've experienced that. We've known Egypt. Yes, we've known the distance. But we've also known the Lord calling us out from that, drawing us with cords of love, just as we were singing, out of Egypt and into his presence and into the experience of his mercy and his salvation. Haven't you experienced the longing, even in Egypt, for something better, for something higher, for a more pure and a more holy life, for a relationship with God, and especially for a hope that goes beyond this world, a hope that endures forever? We've known these longings and these desires. Even when we were distant from God, we sometimes felt the Lord drawing us, calling us. And maybe the Lord is calling you today and urging you to leave the land of Egypt, to leave that place of distant exile, and to come into his presence. It is a temporary place, but it is also an alien place. And this is the key point. Egypt is a foreign land. No doubt it was welcome when Joseph and Mary went there. They could be safe. They were safe from Herod. But that's about as much as you can say. It is a wicked, sinful, heathen country given over to the worship of wicked, false gods. They neither speak the language, they neither care for the culture, they neither respect or value the God of Israel. They were in Israel, but they were not of Israel. They were, indeed, a foreign land. And Joseph and Mary would have felt that they were strangers in a strange land as they sojourned in the land of Egypt. Their longing was to be back to their own country and amidst their own people. And so it was with Old Testament Israel. Yes, they relished the safety that they had from the famine in Egypt. But Egypt was not their home. And they soon learned that as they experienced the cruel persecution of the Egyptian people, as they experienced the slavery, as they experienced the harshness and the cruelty of the slave drivers, they realized that was not their home. You know, it can be the same with us. We think at first the world is a great place. We experience some of the joys of this world and we think, oh, this world is wonderful. This world will satisfy all my desires. And then we start to learn more of it. And we realize that these sins that the world brings to us, they promise such joy and they yield such despair. The temptations of the world, they glitter and they gleam. And when we seize upon them, we find only ashes in our mouths. We find that this world is a cruel slave driver, which leads us deeper and deeper and darker into sin. And it's only the cruelty and the hardness of it. There is no joy, there is no satisfaction. There is just sin upon sin, and we are never satisfied. We're never sated. We've never had enough of sin. There's always still the urging, the yearning for more sin and more sin. And so we are slaves, bound in that captivity to our own wickedness. The gospel offers hope. The gospel speaks to us of a different life, of a different way of living. It speaks to us of a higher, nobler life, a life lived for God and not for yourself and your own selfish desires. It lifts your eyes up to the Lord Jesus and to the beauty of holiness, and it shows you what human life truly can be when it is consecrated unto God, when God is working, when God is changing our wicked hearts and giving us that better and higher prospect that is to come. Let's see, therefore, in this passage, the encouragement that we have. See that here is the Lord Jesus identified with us. Why did Jesus go down into exile in Egypt? Why was that part of God's plan? Is it not to demonstrate for us that the Lord Jesus has experienced hardships alongside us? He too has known what it was to be in the distant place, to be in the alien place. Jesus couldn't be converted because he had no sin to be converted from. He was holy and pure from the beginning. But he did, at least in his outward life, go through much the same experience that you and I have gone through if we're the people of God. He too was brought out of the land of Egypt. And so in the Lord Jesus, you can look to him who has experienced so much of the same of what you have experienced. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And therefore let's see the encouragement of Jesus. Out of Egypt I have called my son. So much then on the place of exile. But let's come more specifically to consider the call out of exile. The call out of exile. Out of Egypt have I called my son. The Lord Jesus is summoned by the Father. He is called out of that place of exile. Yes, it was God's purpose. He'd go there for a time. But the Lord was not going to leave him in Egypt. The Lord needed Jesus Christ in the midst of the chosen people of Israel. And therefore the angel came with a message. Herod is dead. It is time now to return. And so the Lord Jesus is summoned back into the midst of the ancient people of God. You remember, children, we were telling the story last Sabbath morning about the vineyard that the man had planted. The vineyard, and then he went off into a far country and he sent back to the farmers who were working the fields, asking them to give the fruit of the vineyard. And they took his messengers and they beat some and they killed others. And at last he sent his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." Here is the Lord Jesus, in fulfillment of that picture, of that parable, being called back into the land of Israel, into the midst of the vineyard that God has planted, to seek there the fruit of the vineyard, to seek for the welcome and the faith and the love of God's ancient chosen people. So it was with the ancient people of God. They had been called, they had been summoned out of the land of Egypt to come into the promised land. And so it is with you and I. We are called to, out of Egypt have I called my son, and you too are being called by the Lord to come out of Egypt, to leave the distant alien place of slavery and of exile. You are called to come into the midst of God's chosen people. The Lord does not want you at a distance. The Lord wants you in the midst of his people, in the presence of his love, in faithfulness to him. Out of Egypt have I called my son. And therefore the challenge to you of God's word is the command that is given to leave sin, to leave the pleasures of this world, to leave living for the desires of the flesh and of the mind, to leave that life behind and to come instead to a life of faithfulness and of holiness towards God, to embrace a higher life to which you and I are called. The call is to come to serve God and to follow him. How are we responding as we hear that call? Out of Egypt have I called my son. And are we coming out of Egypt? Or are we still clinging to the bondage, to the sins, to the slave drivers of the land of bondage? He is summoned by the Father. He is protected by the Father. He's called only when it's safe. Only once Herod has died, once it is safe for Jesus and his family to return to the land of Israel, only then is he called. The call comes once the ground has been prepared. So it was with Old Testament Israel. They were called out of Egypt once the land of Canaan was ripe for conquest, once the time had come for them to enter their promised land and to take possession of it. And so it is with you. You're not called to a place of danger or of fear. You're called to a place of safety. You're called to come because now is the day of salvation. You're called to come because now the Lord Jesus has paid the price for sin. He has conquered sin, and all who trust in him are free of sin and are free of bondage to sin and of the burden of their iniquities, and in Jesus Christ have forgiveness and everlasting life. You are called to come to him who offers safety, to the ruler who promises safety for his people, not just in this world, but through all eternity to come. You're called to the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, is there not safety? Safety in him forever. Protected by the Father. And he is provided for by the Father. We see this in verse 22. There's an additional message that comes to Joseph as they enter the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. You see, after Herod the old king had died, his kingdom had been divided up into four parts, and each part had been assigned a different ruler. And one of Herod's sons, a particularly wicked man named Archelaus, was ruling over Judea, over the part of Israel around the city of Jerusalem. Eventually, he was actually removed from his position because of his incompetence and his wickedness, and a Roman governor was appointed. And of course, at the time of the death of Christ, we know that Roman governor was Pontius Pilate. And so all is being prepared for the purposes of God that are to come. But because there was still this danger from this wicked governor, this wicked ruler, Archelaus, therefore God, in a dream, warned Joseph and Mary and the Lord Jesus to turn aside into Galilee, into Nazareth. And so it was, you see, that all is being fulfilled, just as the Lord had prepared. The life that the Lord Jesus is to live as a carpenter in the land of Galilee, the life that he is to live amongst Peter and Andrew, James and John, the friendships he is to form, the disciples that he is to gather among them, the ministry that he is to have in the towns around the edge of the Lake of Galilee, all that is being prepared for him as the Holy Family are warned to turn aside into Galilee. All as prepared, all as planned by the wisdom of eternal God. Just as it is with Israel, brought out of Egypt into their promised land, prepared for them and conquered by the power of God. And so it is with you and I. We are provided for by our God. We come to the Lord, we find his salvation, and we find that he provides for us. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so though we sin, and though we turn aside so often after sin, even as the people of God, so often we're full of confusion and full of temptation and full of doubt, yet nonetheless the Lord abides faithful. And that is the comfort, you see, that we have in the midst of the Christian life. We are provided for in him, and it is the Lord Jesus who is our great shepherd, who feeds us, who sustains us, and who guides us. Guides us ever onwards toward the promised land that is to come. The wonder and the comfort of the gospel fulfilled in our life and in our experience. So then, as you listen to this call, as you hear the Lord speaking to you, out of Egypt I have called my son. And as you hear the Lord calling you to turn from the way of sin and to turn to repent unto him and to trust in him for salvation, what is your response? Think on it. Think on it as you're reading scripture. Think on it as you're feeling it working in your conscience, in your heart, as you're realizing, yes, there is more to this life than just living for my own pleasures. As you have these longings and these desires after holiness and after serving Christ, think on it. Are you responding to this call that comes in the midst of the scriptures? The call out of exile. And that brings us, thirdly, to see the love for the exile. We've considered the place of exile. We've considered the call out of exile. Now, thirdly, the love for the exile. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Out of Egypt have I called my son. See the wonder of it. The Father's acknowledgement. This child, the baby Jesus, this is his son. His son whom he loves, and he has called this son, now that the time is safe, out of the land of Egypt, to come into the midst of Israel once more, acknowledging him as his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And if it's remarkable enough when we think of it with regards to Christ, how much more remarkable when we consider it in its original context, applied to the people of Israel. Israel, who were so sinful, who are always backsliding, who were always turning aside and rebelling, and yet they were beloved. They were the people of God. Out of Egypt have I called my son. They were God's own sons, and he loved them with that passionate love. It's like Moses was told to say to Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me." The people of God are acknowledged as the very sons and daughters of God. And that was true of Old Testament Israel, and it is true in the New Testament age as well. It is true of me and of you, that we are acknowledged by God as his adopted sons and daughters. Out of Egypt have I called my son. And he looks upon you if you are trusting in Jesus, and he acknowledges you as one of his precious beloved family. And so you can hear the words of love that are spoken and think upon that. The compassion shown even for sinners such as you in the loving words of the passage before us. Think of the offer of love that goes out in these words. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Are you being called today? You'll maybe say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm one of God's chosen people or not. I don't know if God loves me as his son or daughter, or if he does not. Well, ask yourself the question. What marks out the sons and daughters of God? How are they identified? And the only way we can identify them is that they respond to the call of God. They do obey. So if you wish to see if you are a child of God, the only logical thing, the only reasonable thing to do is to come to Jesus Christ, to come seeking salvation. And as you come to Jesus Christ, as you look to him, what says the scriptures? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Think of that. Can we not come even to Jesus Christ himself? And can we not find that he is willing to have us, and willing to change us, and willing to receive us, and willing to love us as sons and as daughters? The Father's acknowledgement, and therefore the Father's love. This is expressed with even greater clarity in the full verse which we read in Hosea chapter 11. It goes like this: when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. There is love in this call. Love. Passionate, intense love. When Israel was a child, was young, was at an early stage in their national history, then they were loved by God and called out of their exile into the privileges which God had prepared for them in the promised land. And there is intensity of love here. How abundantly true is this of the Lord Jesus. Loved by the Lord. Loved even as a little child. As the very Son of God. The object of God's blessed adoration. He loves the Lord Jesus. And so he provides for him in safety. And so it is with us, the people of God. Loved with passionate intensity. Loved from our earliest childhood. And all our life, part of the plan of God, kept safe, protected, guarded, so that we would be led to this point in time where we would indeed trust in the Lord Jesus and indeed receive the fulfillment of salvation and walk in holiness before him through our lives, all in the purpose and the plan of God. And we may delight in that love if we are God's people, as we see it fulfilled in our life and our experience, just as Joseph and Mary could look back and wonder at how their child had been preserved by God's mercy, even through that time of temporary exile in the land of Egypt. So you and I can look back and think, isn't it wonderful? I was preserved from this pitfall, from that dreadful mistake, from this fearful temptation. I was kept, I was preserved, I was guided along the Lord's path, and he led me to salvation, and he will bring me into the fulfillment of salvation in his eternal promised land. And that leads us therefore, you see, to notice the Father's eternal purpose. It's so plain, isn't it? Out of Egypt have I called my son. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. He's been in this world for a time. He's lived amongst us. He's fulfilled all that the Lord had for him to do. And now he has been called out of Egypt, out of this world altogether. And he is exalted at the right hand of God. Out of Egypt have I called my son. And now he is there, the object of the Father's love, the very glory of heaven itself, the Lord Jesus, exalted in purity and in holiness. And so it is with all the people of God. This is not our final home. And we are being called out of this world. Out of Egypt have I called my son. We have a higher calling if we are God's people. A calling to that eternal promised land above. That's God's place for us. And that is truly where we are citizens. That is where we are at home. And that's the prospect that lies before us if indeed we are God's people. Here is the prospect to be his sons and his daughters for all eternity. To be eternally satisfied in God, satisfied in ourselves, and satisfied in our blessed salvation. We may well marvel and wonder at the providence of God working in our lives that's brought us through the temporary passing time of exile in this world into the promised land that is above. Out of Egypt have I called my son. The identity of Jesus from his exile. Just as we come to a close, let's have a couple of final thoughts of application. If we are the Lord's people, then let us give worship to the Lord who is exalted. As we see him pictured here in this passage, the Lord preserved as a baby, preserved through his life, preserved through his death, and now exalted on God's right hand. Let's see him as the object of our worship. And let's give praise, honour unto he who deserves it. View him there. Consider his achievement, that he's purchased our salvation, and honour him for that. Consider then all that he endured to achieve that. The sufferings of this life, the misery of that childhood exile into the foreign distant land of Egypt, the sufferings of adult life, the sufferings of his bitter, tragic death, the hard experiences that he had to go through to secure salvation for his people, and all for us, all done from love, and therefore all reason for us to honour and to magnify his name. But then again, if you're still in the land of Egypt, if you're still distant from him, then hear that there's a call to you as well to come out of that land, out of that distant exile. There's a call to you to come to where you truly belong, to the midst of the people of God, to the midst of the family of God, and to have before you the blessed prospect of everlasting life. That's the life that you've been made for. That is what human beings are really designed for. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be living. That's the kind of life we ought to be living before God. And is it not a tragedy that so many reject God's plan and instead turn aside and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and relish themselves in the temporary passing sins of the land of Egypt, never realizing that they are just slaves, miserable slaves with nothing before them but death and destruction? Or that we would realize that there is something better, that there is a hope for us if we are God's loved ones. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of this world. Are these God's words for you? If they are, then trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him alone for salvation, and you will indeed in time receive the fulfillment of that in God's everlasting life. Let's come to the Lord. Let's find hope in him. And let's find that he will teach us how to live so as to glorify and to enjoy him forever. Amen. May God bless to us his word. Let's come before him in prayer. O Holy One, we rejoice in thy word. We rejoice in the message that it brings, and we pray that thou wouldst apply these thoughts to our own hearts and especially teach us to love thee and to delight in thee, to lift our eyes from the sins of this world to that nobler, better, higher life to which thou dost call us. Teach us therefore thy ways, we pray, and guide us in thy truth, in Christ's precious name and for his sake. Amen.